Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We praise, in the name of Allah, the most merciful and the compassionate, we truly praise this for Allah alone. And we seek His help and we seek His forgiveness and we put our trust in Him and we seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and our wrong actions. And whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever He leads astray, there is no one to guide him. And we bear witness to the fact that there is no deity but Allah, one without a partner. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His worshipper, His messenger, and blessings of Allah and peace upon him and upon his family and his companions. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullillaha bilhaq tuqatih tatmununa wala antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhannasu taqurru rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidatin wa khalaqna min azwajiha wa basara minhumma rijalan katiran wa nisaa. وَتُقُوا لِلَّهُ الَّذِي تَسَأَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَكِيبًا. Allah, praise be to Him, Most High, said in His clear book, O you who have attained to faith, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die, save that is yours, Muslims. And O people, fear your Lord as He created you from oneself, and from it as made, and from the twain spread out a multitude of men and women. Fear Allah in your claim over one another, and toward the ones from which you have come. Truly Allah is the watcher over all of you. Alhamdulillahi ladhi jalla diyumun jumati sayyidin ayinami wa nabudu wa nasta'inu Allah iya wa huwa ladhi farad al-salata wa jumati qadru ta'Allah. Praise be to all who made this day of congregation to be the best of days. We do not worship, we do not seek the aid of others other than He who made the congregation worship obligatory, as worse than worship than the Most High. O you who have attained to faith, hear the call for the salah, the day of congregation. Make haste into the remembrance of Allah and leave your trading. The sincere believers are those who have believed and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, for truly in the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find rest. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Draw today from the very brief and very powerful ayat of Quran, of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Idha ja'a al-Nasr li wafat. With the help of Allah comes and the opening victory, and you see people entering the religion of Allah in multitudes, then hymn the praises of your Lord and seek His forgiveness, for truly He is the ever accepting of repentance. Lot stacked into that small surah. And I'll be brief today, inshallah. We have to remember that the golden era of Islam was a time when Muslims were at the head of world civilization. And unfortunately, that age was short-lived in the history of humanity, albeit, you know, you can say it was near to 500 years, but there was a lot of degeneration toward the end of it. But these past moments of victory, and we'll call them moments of victory for Islam, have escaped us because of our own greed and our own carelessness and our own, humanity in general's carelessness, and because of our ego, because of our love of ourself, because of our love for name and fame in the world in which we live, in the materialistic world, where everything is a brand, including the individual. You know, branded in the cattle talk mean, or horse talk means you show who the ownership is, you know. And indeed, it has an interesting, it's an interesting metaphor for the world we live in today. And for love of this world. And so the early Muslims were pretty much acknowledged leaders of the world because of their spirituality, because of their sincere love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their adab. And because this adab is a very, very important topic for us as Muslims. Because of their spirituality, because of their mysticism, their spirituality, because of tasawwuf, because of their obedience to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding that these words, these commands come from the Alam al-Amr. And during these times of very high level spirituality and sincere commitment to Islam, their understanding of the kalima of La ilaha illallah, which was proclaimed from Arabia to Africa to Andalus to the Balkans to Central Asia to Turkey into the Indian subcontinent to Malaysia to Indonesia, indeed, you know, the remnants of which were reclaimed here in this world, or the Western part of North America even. And indeed, you know, it was barely by some published accounts the 10th century, you know, or 11th century, when Muslims actually came to this continent. So it's within this period of time that we're talking about, this golden age. Whether Turks or Mughals or Mongolians or Persians or Byzantines or wherever were, this high quality of character was there, akhlaq was there. And people's akidah was beyond criticism. Many people, I should say, not everybody, of course. And these predecessors of ours were tolerant, and they were patient, and they made up all strata of society. They were tolerant. They were people who were cosmopolitan. They were people who were rural. They were people with great knowledge. They were people who were simple. But they all seemed to click, to understand what Islam was. And when they said Allahu Akbar, they knew that whatever greatness that they had achieved, Allah was greater than that, and it came from Allah. And they had sincerity and sincere intention to propagate this message of Islam to the world, not just to convert the world to Islam like the Salafi today talk about, but to create, to send a message of cooperation and understanding and tolerance and patience and wisdom and seeking of knowledge and all of these wonderful qualities that human beings can have to the whole world. And that's the victory. That's the march to victory. Winning the hearts of people by the message, winning the hearts of people by the oneness of Allah, winning over the hearts of people by the character of the individuals who live it. And this spirituality, this ruhaniya, this spirituality, and this ikhlas, sincerity, of our predecessors, who were righteous people, were the reasons why they were why it was called eventually a golden age, or referred to as a golden age. And we owe a lot of beautiful historic Islamic heritage to these people, to the people who were the Sahaba, to the people of the Tabi'in, to the people of the Tabi'in, who were spiritually aware, who were sincere, who made Islam a victory for Islam throughout the world, and not by the sword, but by their character. And yet we look at the miserable, pitiful situation of the Ummah today, and it's a sign of our spiritual weaknesses. It's a sign of humanity's spiritual deterioration. And Islam came and spread to the world with the purpose of bringing character and dignity to human beings, to humanity, to say, here's a message that encompasses everyone, that can reach into everyone's lives. It's a message of unity, of oneness, of tawheed to all people. And yet today, enemies from all corners, mostly even, unfortunately, largely within Islam itself, attack Islam. And so we're defensive. We're on the defensive. We're on the defensive. And the problem is that the good Muslims and the people of good character are on defensive alongside of the, I will say it, bad Muslims, the people who don't understand Islam, who destroy Islam, and there we are thrown into the same pile with these people. They're aggressive defensive, passive aggressive in their mentality. And it's, we live in a passive aggressive world. And yet Allah's command doesn't change, the Quran doesn't change. The command is to be, the command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be a model of community and showing the path of unity. The model of Islam is to be in harmony and solidarity, but also not just in solidarity with Muslims, but with Muslims in the true sense of the word, with people who believe. And but yet, here we are, we're divided. And the ideals of ahuat, of brotherhood, have been lost, and sisterhood, and it's been characterized in the conduct of the people today against the background of the conduct of the people of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And the Ummah that was once protected the oppressed and the poor, the Ummah that once helped the helpless, the Ummah that disdained orphans, now making orphans, oppressing the poor, blowing up places, killing innocent people, and making orphans among the Muslims, let alone anybody else. And the internal enemies and the external enemies have the same faces. And the Ummah, which has once placed its trust and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is becoming more dependent on the protection of people not who do not consider themselves in the Ummah, and who have political ends to their, quote, protection, to their treaties, or their entreaties. And so, what happened? Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he finds a way, a very clever way, a very purposeful way to end slavery, and now we're being enslaved ourselves by our own people. And we're enslaving others. Different type of slavery. Financial slavery, mental slavery, psychological slavery, as well as even in some places the actual slavery. We're becoming slaves of the economy. We're becoming slaves of the politics and the powers and the people who want to be superpowers and the superpowers and the less superpowers. And whatever you want to call them, but the cause of this degradation and the cause is the cause of this degradation, the cause of this illness has to have a cure. And just like anything else, with a proper diagnosis, we can understand that there should be a cure to it, because Allah always provides a cure for every dis-ease. And our spiritual illness today, we have to look for the cure. And inshallah, that cure doesn't come too late, and Ummah will recover from a disease and begin again to take a position of leadership in the world, which others can look to and say, those are good people. They went through a bad time, but they changed themselves. And if we're going to make this diagnosis of the sickness, we have to begin by consulting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look at his wisdom and his prophetic wisdom. He's a prophet. His prophetic wisdom means he can tell what's going to happen. Once Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was asked by the Sahaba regarding the realities of the situations of the Muslims and what it will be like in the future, and at that time when the time of the Yom Kiyamah, the Day of Judgment. And Prophet ﷺ said, a day will surely come when all unbelievers will unite against Muslims and will launch joint attacks against them. And the Sahaba asked the Holy Prophet, will the Muslims be less in number compared to the enemies? And Rasulullah ﷺ replied, Muslims will be spread throughout the world and will be numerous, but their strength will be like a tiny ball of cotton. They will be powerless and helpless unless they repent and turn to Allah for help. And another of the Sahaba asked, O Prophet of Allah, what will be the cause of the weakness of the Muslims? And he replied, your weakness comes from your love of this world, love of yourself, and love of fame. And from this hadith, we can infer a lot of lessons for our own spiritual benefit. First, the Prophet recognized that the spiritual weakness of Muslims as the Day of Judgment approaches, and shows that he was given a capacity, of course, of knowing the future, and so he could look into the Ilm al-Ghayb and see into the unseen events, and those events which are concerned with the future situations of the Ummah. But also this prophecy of Prophet Muhammad should make us cognizant that in our time today, you know, the Day of Judgment may be a Day of Judgment, but it may be every day there's judgment being made. We are in a time of being judged and being judged by our own actions. If creation was created in 7 days and the calculations by Quran is 8 billion years, 4 million years, etc., 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 you know, these calculations are come by statements in Quran, then the Day of Judgment can certainly extend over a long period of time. Very few things just start and end. You know? You're at a car, you start at a dead stop, and it takes you time to get to 60 miles an hour. So we can't, when people say, oh, the Day of Judgment's upon us, well, it very well may be, and may have been upon us for the last 500 years or 1,000 years also. In another way of calculating, it's our mentality also. And the Muslim Ummah has become victim to the oppression of many people from the outside. Yes, we know that, and we see it happening again. But it also tells us we're oppressed from inside, from within. But there's hope in this statement, too, because it contains the diagnosis, and it contains a cure. Prophet said that the cause of our weakness is the love of this world, the hubb ad-dunya, the love of the self, the hubb an-nafs, and the hubb al-jah, the love of fame. And these three wrong types of love, these limited and distorted forms of love, have replaced the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, and the love of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning it's replaced our attraction to the divine presence. It's distorted us. It's made us distracted from seeing what is before us, from understanding the process that we're a part of. And according to the Prophet ﷺ, these loves, these three loves of the self, the world, and the fame have made our iman and our niyat powerless like a ball of cotton. And that's the reason why today there are so many unbelievers and oftentimes they're successful in defeating the Muslims. Unbelievers, not just saying the Christians, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus. That's such a limited, silly way of looking at it. People who don't believe. Who believe that they're in control, that they have the power, that they have the entitlements, that they have the rights, whether they're inside Islam or not, whether they're Al-Qaeda or they're Hizb al-Tahrir or they're Jihad or whatever, you know, pick a name, make one up. Or they've got some other name by some other religion. This incredible level of ignorance that we see played out just in the last 10 days. But our situation isn't hopeless, inshallah. Prophet also said the cure for this cancer that we're attacked with is if we repent and we turn back to Allah and seek Allah's aid and support, the Ummah, and repenting just doesn't mean saying Astaghfirullah. It doesn't mean just even say, asking for forgiveness. It is that, of course. But it's stopping the ghafla, the heedlessness, paying attention, back to paying attention. And to reject the exaggerated love that we have for things, for the self, for fame, for name, for this world. And returning back to Allah means instead of loving ourselves so in the wrong way, or loving fame or worldly things, We strive to have sincerity. We can have love in the world. We can be aware of ourselves, know yourself, and you know your Lord. And we can have fame, that is to say, for the things that put us in a position to give a good message and be appreciative, gratitude instead of love or fame. And so when we turn to Allah, we make tawajjuh, we pay attention to Allah and we turn toward Allah for help, it means that we trust and we put our confidence in Allah as the source, as the creator, as the architect, as the constructor of all success. Those successes are victories. All the success that comes into our life. And it's and very clear from this hadith, Sharif, that the real source of the victory is the genuine spirituality of the individual Muslim. Even though we are an ummah, it is each individual Muslim's sincerity that makes the difference. And true spirituality begins with a renewal of that self, of the sincere self, the tajdeed. And it begins with the islah al-nafs, with the reforming of the nafs, reformation and reforming of it, the steps of the nafs. And the practice of course, as I said, ikhlas. So, the sense we come when Allah's help and victory come near, comes to you, and you will see men entering the religion of Allah in companies and celebrate the praises of your Lord and ask protection, for surely He is returning, ever returning in His mercy. This Surah Nasr is very helpful for us to understand Allah's help, how the help comes from Allah to us, how it comes to people who believe. And this surah contains the key that unlocks our understanding that regards the relationship between the sincere conduct of a truly spiritual Muslim and Allah's promise of nusrat, of assistance, of help, and His assurance of victory, personal victory. Historically, we know that the surah describes the help and the victory that He gives the early Muslims when they enter Mecca without fight, without bloodshed. And the victory referred to in this surah is the conversion of the whole Arabian Peninsula to Islam. But after the conquest of Mecca, many deputations of Arabs, different tribes, came to Prophet Islam and to give their bayah. The Prophet saw with his eyes how the promise of Allah became true in his own lifetime and became fulfilled. Yet despite this overwhelming victory, he was reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the surah that victory comes only because of the help and the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And following this victory, he tells the Prophet to praise him and to worship him for all the wondrous things that he did in creating this world, and he did for Muslims and did for Islam. But on the other hand, the Prophet was also required at the same time to seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this overwhelming victory. Because it tells us that there's something else that comes with victory, because the potential of arrogance is a potential of ego in this. And so we have to stay, you know, in the shelter, protected by Allah. And even if we think we've achieved great things in our lives, or as a group, or as individuals, or as a group, it's because we have the tendency to forget. We have the tendency to forget, especially when we have great achievements. And that's exactly the time when we should remember. Sometimes these achievements lead us to desire more victories. People get attached to their hegemony, even their spiritual hegemony, their religious hegemony. And we see this in the world today. More victories under the guise of protection. Selfish aims. But whenever these victories come to our lives, someone else is there celebrating them. Tanas, the whisperer, Shaitan, is there celebrating right alongside of us. Good for you. You want a victory. You want a victory for Islam today. That's Khanes. When one person died, when one person's land was destroyed, when one believer was killed by whatever, or harmed by whatever name they call themselves, when one innocent victim, this is a victim for Shaitan. And so he wants to gain this advantage from our victory, and this is the reason why we need to ask the protection, because Shaitan resides within us. You remember the story of Khanas, I won't repeat it, but he resides inside of us in the form of our pride, in the form of our power, in the form of our desires. Their fame for this world. There are beautiful things in this world that we are given and deserve. There are beautiful relationships in this world that we have been given to enjoy. But what is the niyyah? What's the motivation? And so, there are some advice that we can find by reflecting on this surah An-Nas. First, we can be victorious only if we truly and sincerely depend on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without that help, despite any efforts we make, we won't achieve anything worthwhile and lasting. And second, we can invite the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives by living a good life, by striving, by picking ourselves up every time we fail and striving to live a good life as Muslims. And loving that submission to Allah by following the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. Of course, literally, to do the things that you can do, but in a spiritual sense. Not just to, you know, put your mustache this long, or this way, or that way, or whatever. Especially for your girls, it's hard. And third, we can be assured of this continuous success, successive successes. Huh? Why the word successive with success in it? Successive successes, if we are humble. Despite whatever achievements would come to us, Allah help is guaranteed to us if we live a life of more simplicity, modeled after the simple people, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, with some self-denial, with some humility, with meekness, with kindness, then we have victory. And so, the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the spiritual examples found in the lives of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een are testimonies. The Muslims weren't dependent on military strength. They weren't armed better. They didn't have deterrent weapons. Even evil plans of their enemies weren't able to overcome them because their intentions were pure and they were sincere. Maybe they could think clearer. They could act in a more strategic way. They knew how to use the resources that they had in a better way. Just look at it from a very practical point of view. Not God is on my side point of view. And that victory is promised to those who believe, who do good, and who encourage others to do good, and who are patient and encourage others to be patient. And so, how can the Ummah raise itself? Well, I guess we have to say person by person, nation, community by community, to cultivate our spirituality by taking the first step and then the second step in reforming the self. To believe the Quran and to receive the help and the support of Allah, to purify ourselves, to be sincere in our intentions and perform righteous acts and to be in the company of good people and to keep the doors of ethical and moral purification open and to do those good deeds without discerning or caring about who you're doing them for, because you're doing them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you separate good deeds from sincerity, you'll never have any value. There's no spiritual value in them. And so, great work has been done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the great people who are done because it is done from their heart, from their spirituality, from their sincere repentance, from their carefulness instead of their carelessness. And so the situation, the miserable situations that characterize Islam today have to be overcome. And we have to overcome them by our sincerity and by our continued work and our continued measurement of ourselves, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم صل على خير الناصرين واقتر على خير الفاتحين واقفل على خير الاكافرين وهمنا على خير الرحمين وزدنا على خير الرازقين وهبنا ناجنا من كامل الظالمين وهبنا رهاد حيابه كما هي الموت وشون علينا من خزائن رحمتك وحمدنا بحمد الكرمات والسلامات والعافيات في الدين والدنيا واخره انك كل شيء قدير. O Allah, you are the best to aid us, and you open us, and you're the best at forgiving, and you're most merciful, and you're the best at providers. So guide us and deliver us from the hands of the oppressors, within and without. Grant us a fair wind in accordance with your knowledge, and give us your treasures of your mercy, and transport us by the conveyance of your generosity with peace and well-being in our spiritual life and our worldly life, and in the life hereafter. Allahumma yasilana umrana mahalati wa kulubana ba'abadana wa salamati wa afiyati hizanana. بديننا ونسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا كازيا ونسألك علما نافيا ونسألك دينا تاينا ونسألك عافية من كل البلايا ونسألك تامنا العافية ونسألك دعوة العافية ونسألك شكر العافية إنك على كل شيء قدير. Make it easy for us with the serenity in our hearts and our bodies, and we beseech you for the faith that is everlasting and a submissive heart and knowledge that is beneficial, and for certainty that is genuine, and for religion that is straight, and for well-being that is free of afflictions, and for complete well-being, and for continued well-being, and thankfulness for that well-being. Allahumma, wasfir wujana wa nuri safatik wa adikna wa bashina yawmani qiyamati bayna alika wa jadik wa yadikul mabsududin alayna. وأهل أهلنا من إيماننا ورحمتك وكلنا نساحبنا وسفارنا وطرفتنا أهلنا واتمس على وجه أيدنا وسخهم مكاناتهم فلا يسبب مدير ولا مجير لنا يعني مال مجيب يعني مال مجيب يعني مال مجيب. Oh Allah, make us live this way and shine light on our faces and rejoice on the day of the resurrection and make us among your friends and have your hands spread over our families and our children and those who are with us and be our companions in our travel and a guardian in our family and a face-to-face with our enemies and freeze them in their places. O most responder of all responders. Allah, we ask you for your special blessings upon Fatima, Turkey, and her recovery, and from all those among us who are ill and from those who families who are in need, and upon Abdel Nasser's mother and her struggles and her health struggles in her life in New York. And we ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect our brother and his travels back and sister back into Florida. I hope that they bring us back to us healthy and the health of the daughter here and the well-being of everyone in this place. Bismillah. Salaam alaikum. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Alhamdulillah, na'maduhu, nasta'inu, nastaghfiru, wa nu'minu bihi, wa nastaghfiruhu, wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala alihi wa jami'i al-anbiya wa mursalin wa al-makatim wa al-karibin wa awliyai wa salihin wa mujahidin fi sabilillah bi rahmatika ar-rahman ar-rahim. Qawla lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala fi kitabil mubin. Inna lillahi wa malakatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma walzir wa sa'an sadatina wa kulafi rashidin. Abi Bakrin wa Siddiqi wa Mara wa Fakhri wa Uthman ibn Nurayn wa ala sayyidina wa Nana Ali. Karama lallahu ajah wa ladara Allahumma ana sayyidina al-Hassani wa sayyidina al-Hussein. Wa an umahimma sayyadati Fatima wa Zahra. وأن ألي بيت الكرام وأن أزواج والنبي الطاهرات ومهدي المؤمنين وأصحاب الصالحين وتابعين وتابعين وبدي لهم مخلصين لإسلامين وإمامين إحسانين يوم الدين إبد الله إن الله يمر بأدلي ولساني ودال الكربة وإن يهنى على الفشاء ومخري وباقي يدكم لله كنت ذكرون وذكر الله أكبر.